Hello, everyone. This is your girl, Shade, reporting live from Win in STEM Podcast. Welcome to episode 6 of our series, How It Started versus How It's Going. Today, I have another special guest. Her name is Dr. Lillian Fong. And fun fact, we took AP Physics together in high school. I can't believe that this year marks 10 years since we graduated high school. That's crazy. Yeah, and I'm sure if it wasn't for COVID, we probably would have seen each other in person at a, at a reunion or something. But I'm glad you're here now.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, one of the things we do here is to allow our guests to introduce themselves. So basically, unapologetically telling our listeners who you are, what you do, where you're from, share your accomplishments, what you're proud of, and all the good stuff. So all this is your time to shine. So the floor is yours.
All right. Thanks, Shade. Hi, everyone that's listening. Like Shade said, my name is Lillian Fong. I was born in Fall River, Massachusetts, which is also where Shade is from. I'm the youngest of three, two older brothers, and I'm the baby girl. So I went to high school with Shade, go Hilltoppers. But I think we also might have gone to middle school together. Did you go to Talbot?
Yep.
So we knew each other, we saw each other, but we probably didn't really make contact until we had that very memorable AP Physics class.
I know, that struggle class.
Oh, well, you know, we made it and now we're here. So in high school, I graduated in the top 5 of my class and then eventually went to pharmacy school at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. I did a 6-year Doctor of Pharmacy program and graduated about 4 years ago now, 2016. Did a couple of internships while I was there. I did an internship at the VA Boston Inpatient Pharmacy, the Massachusetts General Hospital Outpatient Pharmacy, and the South Cove Community Health Center Outpatient Pharmacy. After graduation, I happened to land a job that I hoped for. And actually it came as a bit of a surprise, and that's the job that I still currently have, and I've been there since graduation for 4 years, and I am a clinical inpatient pharmacist at the San Francisco VA Hospital, so now I do live in San Francisco.
Nice. Yep. So you went from the East Coast to the West Coast.
I did.
So what made you pursue a career in science, but more specifically in pharmacy? So what age were you introduced? Did you have anyone in your family who was already a pharmacist, or do you have any mentors that inspired you?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I didn't specifically know I wanted to do something health related. I mean, growing up and going through like the core subjects and like school, like through high school and stuff, I always knew that my strengths were in the sciences and then the math, and it came more naturally to me. It was always more interesting than other subjects. So I didn't really start to think about, like, you know, what I would pursue as a career until it came to be about that time when I was a sophomore in high school and I was trying to figure out, you know, what should I do. And at that point in my family, I didn't have anybody working in medicine directly, but I did have some cousins in health-related fields. So one cousin was formerly pre-med. He had actually decided not to pursue medicine, and he had gone into personal fitness and health coaching. And I have another older cousin who was a nurse. But we weren't really close, and they were at least 10 years, and they are at least 10 years older than I am, so we were never very close. So they didn't really have a huge impact on that decision. So for pharmacy specifically, I would say the first time I even thought or knew it existed was when I was introduced to it by an older friend who was also considering the pharmacy field. And since we were pretty close friends at the time, And since I looked up to her, I thought it was a good option to look at. And after doing more research, it kind of seemed that it would be something that would be both interesting and rewarding. And also helped that it was something that was very practical and seems like it would allow me like financial stability in the future.
Nice, nice. Can you briefly describe the biggest challenge you faced while in school as a person of color majoring in science, pharmacy? This can be either, undergrad or your graduate, and how did you overcome it?
So my undergraduate and graduate program, the doctor of pharmacy program at my school, was kind of a combined program, and that's something that's unique to only like a handful of schools across the nation. But in terms of challenges related to being a person of color, I feel like I didn't really have any external challenges due to my ethnicity per se. I was born here in the United States, and my family is ethnically Chinese. And for, those who might not know, here in the US at least, there's no shortage of Asian Americans in the medical field, including in pharmacy. But this was something I didn't know until I went to college. It was a complete surprise to me. So coming from a city that had a low amount of Asian people and even a lower amount of Chinese people, that was something that was also comforting to me when I went to college. And so, because I didn't have any specific external challenges related to, being a Chinese American, the biggest challenge I probably faced was something that was more self-imposed, and that was probably just to succeed and be able to do well. The stereotype for a lot of Chinese families is that people or parents are extremely strict on the children's academics. And so in terms of strictness, I feel like my parents were maybe in like the upper middle tier. They expected and wanted me to do well, even if they didn't say so verbally. And knowing that I didn't want to let them down, I was afraid to fail, and that fear was basically something that I held on to all the way through pharmacy school, basically until graduation.
Yeah, I definitely can feel that. My parents were the same way, very strict with our academics. And I can remember you're coming home with maybe like a 95, and my dad was like, "Hey, what happened to the extra 5 points? What happened? Isn't 95 okay? Like, it's still an A."
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I definitely understand.
Yeah, so in terms of like being able to overcome that, I think the one of the most important things I had to do was kind of take a few steps back and view things from like a realistic but practical like bird's eye view. I remember I would play out scenarios of like, okay, what happens if I fail this test? What happens if I fail this class? What happens if I have to go back a semester? So I was trying to prepare myself for these things in case they ever happen. And so if they did happen, I could just kind of follow my contingency plans, and I wouldn't be just like, completely like in the dark and panicking. And I would also try to explain my curriculum as best I could to my parents. But of course, that was hard too because of the language barrier that we had. And I never really learned how to say like very advanced words in the Chinese language, so that was always difficult as well, especially because they were also unfamiliar with what a college education entails, especially like a pharmacy doctorate program. So to kind of like put myself in a good mental state when I was going through school, I would have to remind myself of like all the things that I had accomplished to get where I was at the time, and remind myself that I was qualified to be there, and it was okay if I wasn't acing every class, because realistically, not many people do.
Yeah, if you beat the average, then you're okay. In college, were you part of any science clubs? And if so, did they help you land your dream job?
So in college, I was a part of several different science clubs, I guess you could say, but of course they were all directly pharmacy organizations. See, the two that I was most involved with were probably APHA and SNAPFA. APHA, I believe, stands for the American Pharmacists Association or Academy, and then SNAPFA stands for the Student National Pharmacy Association. So they kind of focused on the same things in terms of like being more related to outpatient-based pharmacy and outreach. But SNAFA specifically was more geared toward serving those who were underserved. They didn't directly help me get the job that I'm in now, which I would consider one of my dream jobs that I had hoped for after graduation. Again, currently, I am a concurrent inpatient pharmacist at the San Francisco VA Hospital. So even though they didn't get me to the job, they did give me a great amount of exposure as to what different types of pharmacists exist and helped me connect with peers and really kind of network with those who had experience. Going into my pharmacy program, I originally thought that I would get like a retail job at a local CVS or a Walgreens, but being in these types of pharmacy organizations showed me that there's so much more that I can accomplish through my degree and so many more avenues that you can pursue outside of retail pharmacy.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely recommend for people to join clubs in their field or different national organizations just with the exposure. Exposure is key. If you don't know about it, how can you move forward, professionally or personally? And there's just so much knowledge out there and just resources that, we don't know of that these organizations can help with.
Definitely.
So, what steps did you take that led to your current role? So I know you mentioned you had internships. How did you get those internships?
So for the internships, so I at my school specifically at Northeastern University, we have what's called a co-op program where you basically go and do an internship at a institution and they pay you. So as if you're working there full time. So the school, because the school builds it into the curriculum, they actually have a lot of support to help you obtain these positions. And they send out your resume for you, they help you set up the contacts, they follow up with you to see how you're doing on your co-op search. So that was really helpful. In addition to like that being part of my school's curriculum, it's also something that's required, having those intern hours and those experience hours in order to apply for a pharmacy license. So even if your school didn't help you set it up, which most schools do, you still have to like go out of your way and try to find like those intern hours. So my first co-op was at the Boston VA Hospital, as I mentioned earlier. And that is actually what led me to get my current job since I work at the San Francisco VA Hospital now. After graduation, I was kind of in a bit of a rut trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then somebody forwarded me an email that was sent out to the entire clinical pharmacy network across the country. And they were like, hey, why don't you try to apply for this? And I kind of applied for on a whim, didn't think I would get it because I was a new grad, thinking that, they wanted someone with more experience. But I kind of just did it and just kind of went through the steps and ended up here.
Nice. Did you also participate in fellowship programs or just internships?
So after pharmacy school, you two of the most common post-grad training programs include residencies and fellowships. They're not required, and there's more opportunities outside just a residency or a fellowship. Residencies are more clinical based, whereas fellowships are more pharmacy industry based. I did apply to residency after I graduated, but unfortunately, I did not match with the program. And basically, how that works is that you rank a bunch of programs that you were able to get interviews with, and then they rank all their candidates from, like who they want the most to who they want the least. And then there's some magic algorithm that will match the rankings, and if you match a site, then they will offer you a position. So I interviewed at four sites, and unfortunately, I went through the whole matching process and I didn't match. And at the time, it was really heartbreaking because I thought, or I had really wanted to get residency after graduation. I had my heart set on it. I wanted to stay in the Boston area and be near my family. So yeah, at the time I was devastated. I was like lost. I was like, what do I do now? Like, I felt like everything I worked for was like completely down the drain. But you know, looking back now, I'm actually really grateful that I did not match with a residency, because I never would have pursued this opportunity in San Francisco. At the position that I have now, I actually am really, really grateful that I didn't match back then.
See, yep, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. So it was a blessing in disguise. I just didn't know it at the time.
That's awesome. Can you speak to any challenges you face in your career and how you address them, and if it ultimately helped you move forward in your career?
Yeah. So, you know, as you become a new practitioner right after graduation, everyone tells you, like, yes, you are technically a licensed pharmacist, and you have a third doctorate, but that's baseline knowledge. Everybody should have that. So you're not any better than, you know, anybody else that has those same credentials already, since that is the standard. But basically, when I started this job, I moved here to a new city. I didn't really know anybody in the city. My brother and his wife live about 7 miles away in Oakland, which is about, takes about 45 minutes or so to get to. But besides that, I didn't know anybody. And at work, I didn't know anybody. So I went in feeling like I just didn't know enough coming out of school. Yes, I had passed my board exams. Yes, I was licensed, but I still felt like completely in the dark. When I started getting training, I felt like I wasn't progressing well enough as a new employee. So I would try to review clinical topics and resources during downtimes at work, making sure that I was familiar with guidelines and hospital protocols. Another challenge that I had was just trying to understand my colleagues and adjusting to the work culture there. And it's actually different than what I have experienced on the East Coast. You know, I feel like on the East Coast, people are grinding harder. Versus on the West Coast, they are more advocates for better work-life balance. And so I think I was coming from the mindset of being like, you know, like working to the bone, and then coming here, it's like, oh, these people are a little more relaxed and they, you know, take more opportunities to learn as a team versus like being individual go-getters. Mm-hmm. So I think I really had to make an effort to try to get to know everybody and show that I appreciated the time that they were spending training me. Over time, I think after gaining confidence and knowledge, I probably took me, let's say maybe a year before I was really comfortable with being able to give feedback on how I was trained and being able to give input on system improvements within the pharmacy department. I've been able to teach students and residents and even other staff. And I've also recently been able to take my board certified pharmacotherapy specialty exam, which I just found out I passed, I don't know, like a week ago now. So that was exciting news for me.
Nice. So at your job, were there any organizations to help you with your smooth transition outside training on your program?
I don't think so, honestly. or maybe I just didn't know about them or how to pursue them. But in terms of, maybe that's one thing we can actually work on. So the funny thing is, when I started my new job, I moved from, you know, Boston to San Francisco. I had graduated in May, and then I moved in November of 2016. So when I moved to San Francisco, I became, you know, a clinical inpatient pharmacist. But at the same time, there were pharmacy residents that were in the middle or had just started their residency program. So even though we were technically like in the same year of school and then had the same amount of experience, I was technically deemed to be kind of like superior to them because they were like in an official training program versus I was just training on the job. So it was kind of in a weird situation where it was like they help me, I help them, and we're kind of just getting through it together.
Yeah, you need that network. Definitely that network. So, as a person of color, STEMinist, what is a great way to stand out and be seen as an asset on your work team?
What is a great way to stand out? Let's see. So I would say definitely contribute and go above and beyond like what your job title is or your job position is. Be sure to take on projects of interest that are beyond the duties of just your job. It's also important to be able to have an experience to train others as well. You always want to be able to keep up with literature and be able to really work on your communication skills so you can really be a good asset to your team.
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially the mentor aspect. By teaching others, you're proving to yourself that you know the information. And also the other party, flip side, they are learning from you. So being able to teach someone and also having others teach you,
Right. I think it's
different.
important to be aware of, like, you have to know that you don't know everything
Everything.
and nobody knows everything. And, in medicine, it's like that's why you have so many people on the team because they all know a little bit of something that can help better the patient's life.
Exactly. So looking back in your schooling, are there any resources you feel pharmacy students or pharmacists desperately need but are not provided?
So as a student, I feel like I wish I had more career support and opportunities to kind of shadow different types of pharmacists. I remember actually in high school, before I started pharmacy school, I had tried to, go call up the CVS or call up the Rite Aid and be like, can I just come in and kind of shadow you and see what you do? But unfortunately, you can't really do that. It's kind of limited because of, patient privacy regulations of different institutions. So I think I wish we had more exposure to unconventional careers in the field. I feel like, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's really like two types of training programs, or most common training programs after graduation, residencies and fellowships. But there's so much more than that, and I didn't know that. And I feel like people still don't know that, even now.
And to get that type of information, how would someone go about it? It's simple search or reaching out to their department head.
Yeah, so one thing is, so in school they did bring in like a couple speakers, but they were people who were more on the traditional path. I think something that's really developed now that wasn't around even 4 years ago was really the online communities, and also the number of people who go down these unconventional fields who are willing to reach out and do, like meet and greets and like seminars and stuff about like what they're doing. So I think that if you also join a professional organization, they are also more open to showing up and coming pharmacists different opportunities they can pursue.
Nice. So, what advice would you give, would you have given yourself before entering pharmacy school?
What advice? Let's see. Well, I would definitely say make connections, and not just like superficial networking or kind of know people, but kind of just on a passing by basis. But I would say make strong connections. Find people that who can invest in you and who will advocate strongly on your behalf. And now that I'm working, I see the importance of that. This is something that I really tell all the students that I precept and all the residents. I'm like, make sure you have people that can vouch for you because they will. Because a lot of people, like myself, I felt in a way like shy or bad about gloating almost, like when I was interviewing or anything about like my accomplishments. But you have people who will do it on your behalf because they want you to succeed. That's one of the most important things.
Great. That was our last question. Thank you, Lillian, for spending time with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. And do you have any contact or LinkedIn where our listeners can connect with you after?
I am on LinkedIn, Lillian Fong. I'm sure Sade can share the info for anyone that needs it. But yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way to reach me.
Right, perfect. So I'll enter that information in the podcast description. But thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. It's
Of
been
course, I
so
am
long.
honored. I would say that I am so glad that you are doing this because it's really platforms like this that are helping people who are like lost or have no idea what role they can play in the world of STEM, that and by having this platform, by listening to stories and like real stories that they can have some kind of guidance and not feel so lost.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my goal. So I hope our listeners are tuning in and hope you are gaining something from it.
Yeah, I am. Oh, if anyone wants to reach out to me, they're all about pharmacy school advice, career advice, what I do in my job. I am more than happy to share. I have students and residents that I precept almost every day.
So, listeners, as a reminder, please make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Google to hear episodes when they're first released. And if you're on Instagram, make sure to follow us at the Win in STEM Podcast. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, be great and go out and win in STEM. Thank you.
Yay!